Beloved congregation of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, there are, you could say, authority structures in basically every area of our life. You can look around and see some here this afternoon. There are children under the authority of their parents. And of course, we as church members are all in some sense under the authority of the office bearers of this congregation, the elders, who themselves then are under the authority of the great shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And also, as you go about your week, this coming week, you'll encounter other authority structures as well. Maybe it's students and teachers, or simply employees and employers. And so the question that the fifth commandment asks us this afternoon is, what is our responsibility towards all these authorities in our life? How are we to treat them? How are we to respond and interact to them? And the answer of the fifth commandment, which is summarized in the catechism, is simply this: we are to honor them and submit to them because they have been given to us by God himself. And so that'll be our theme this afternoon. Let us submit to the authorities God has given. We'll consider 3 points. First, the reason for submission. Second, the blessing of submission. And finally, then, the challenges of submission. So first, then, the reason for submission. Now, when you read the Word of God, it's quite clear that from the very beginning, creation itself, God instituted structures of authority. Remember what he said to the man and the woman after he had made them? Genesis 1, verse 28, the Lord says, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Man and woman were called to have dominion. God gave them a certain authority, you could say, over all of these creatures that he had made. And also within humanity itself, right from the beginning, there was a certain order. Man was created first, then woman was made from the rib that God had taken out of the man. And for that reason, the Apostle Peter, in the next chapter of his letter, will also begin by saying in chapter 3, verse 1, that wives are to be subject to their own husbands. And then, of course, if you think about the first commandment itself, we see the fifth commandment, it plainly teaches that part of God's good creation was parents and children. And children are to honor and respect their parents because God has given that authority to them. Now, of course, these authority structures within humanity, they weren't just part of God's good creation. They continue after the fall into sin, not only in the family, but in society more broadly. You see that in Scripture itself. Princes and kings are set apart to govern and rule. And even within God's covenant community, the people of Israel, there's structure, there's authority there. God is the ultimate sovereign. Underneath him are princes, kings, perhaps judges. And underneath them are people like elders or family heads. All these people given positions of authority to assist in governing the people. And none of this is new to you. And of course, we aren't surprised to find the very same thing today as well. Families, the mothers and fathers and children, remain the basic, most important building block of a stable society, and over top of them, God has placed other forms of authority, other authority structures, governments, you could say. And so for this reason, we read in 1 Peter 2, verse 13, the Apostle Peter says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution." Notice that he says, for the Lord's sake. Why is it for his sake? Well, it's because, simply put, God made things this way. He, in his sovereign and almighty power, is the one who has put these authorities in their place. He designed it to be that way. And he's also the one who's actually given each specific authority in our life as well. You can think about what the Apostle Paul says about this in Romans chapter 13. It's another well-known passage about authority. And the first thing the Apostle Paul says in Romans 13 is this: let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And so why are we reviewing all these things? Well, congregation, really the first step, you could say, in obeying the fifth commandment, The first step in submitting to all the authorities in your lives is simply believing that these things God says in Scripture are true. And so you can ask yourself this afternoon, beloved congregation, do you believe that God is sovereign over all the authorities in this world? Do you believe that these authorities have been instituted by Him? And that these authorities come from Him, whether they're Christian or secular, whether they're good or bad? And do you understand that this is the very reason that God says simply to us in 1 Peter chapter 2, be subject for the Lord's sake. He's created them, He's instituted them, He's given them to you, and now for the sake of God, you are called to be obedient to them. Which means, congregation, when we submit to the authorities, really, we're submitting to the will of God. Since, as the Catechism plainly says, it's God's will that we be governed by their hand. And if we submit to that governance, we're being obedient to the will of God. Which is clearly something Christian believers ought to strive to do. And so that's simply our first point for this afternoon, the reason for submission. And now we'll turn ahead to our second point and consider some of the blessings of submission to the authorities. And the first blessing is found right in the fifth commandment itself. When you read the text of the first commandment, as you hear it every Sunday morning, you hear one of the reasons for submission. Listen again, Exodus 20, verse 12. The Lord says to His people, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And so you understand, connected to the fifth commandment is this promise of a certain blessing that goes along with it. When we submit to mother and father, there's going to be a blessing that goes with that. Now, you can easily ask yourself the question this afternoon, well, how and what? You know, how does submitting to mom and dad bring blessing? What sort of blessing are we talking about here? Well, for the nation of Israel, and also for all of us here this afternoon, what was the job of the parents? Well, the parents' responsibility with their children was especially to teach their children about the Lord. Instruct them in the ways of the Lord, tell them about the great salvation that the Lord had accomplished for them. And that's true of Christian parents today as well. Christian parents have the duty to instruct our children, to tell our children of the great salvation that God has won. The great salvation He has accomplished through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to tell our children of the awesome covenant promises that God has made to us, and to encourage our children to fulfill the obligations of the covenant. What are those? Well, it's to cling to their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to seek to serve Him faithfully all the days of their lives. And really, this is a timely reminder for all the parents among us, because this is what God calls us to do. God did not just put mother and father in a position of authority for no reason at all. No, He's put us there so that we can do our duty, which is to tell the next generation about the mighty deeds of our God. And now, what does that mean for the children among us? Well, think about it, boys and girls. When your parents make an effort to teach you about God Almighty and about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, what do you think your responsibility is? Well, clearly, it's to listen. It's to respect them. It's to pay attention to them, to learn and to ask questions of them when you do not understand. And why should you be doing that? Well, it's because the things that they are teaching you, the things that they are telling you, have to do with your salvation. Honoring your father and mother in this life very likely means that you will live long, not just here on this earth, but you will live long even in the new heavens and the new earth, where the glory of God and of Jesus Christ dwells forever, because you submitted to the good instruction and discipline of your parents, which was meant to lead you to your Savior Jesus Christ in faith. Great blessing connected to obeying the fifth commandment. Now, of course, we could expand on this a great deal. You know, submitting to our parents has many benefits in this life. One of the reasons that we submit to parents is because by doing so, we also learn the importance of submission in other areas of our life as well. Very often it happens that children who honor their parents are also going to be the ones who honor their teachers in the school, or their employers, or the police officers, or even the authority in the church itself, the elders and deacons. And so, boys and girls, let's understand this afternoon that the blessing of the fifth commandment, it really extends beyond the home. The home, you could say, is a little training ground that God has given, a very important training ground, so that you might learn to submit to this primary authority in your life, your mother and father, and therefore be prepared to submit to the other authorities you'll encounter as well. And don't forget who the ultimate authority is. It's not your parents, it's not other people in the world, but it is God. God is the one who has given this authority. He calls you to submit to it, and by doing that, you're being obedient to His will, and you're submitting to Him. And never forget that. Submitting to authority which God has given means you are in fact submitting to God Himself. Now, of course, it goes without saying, honoring your parents will also be a blessing because it will serve to contribute to a positive relationship. But I think even more than that, you know, boys and girls, being a loving and a faithful child, it can actually have a positive influence on your parents as well. It can work, you could say, to transform the character of your parents when you submit to them and show love to them. I still remember the story, actually, of a particular father. He was having a bit of a rough time, and he kept becoming unreasonably frustrated, you could say, with his children. And eventually he saw his faults, and so he took his children, he sat them down, he apologized to them, he said he was sorry for overreacting, for treating them poorly, even for calling them names. And the father just said, you know, will you forgive me? And you know what his little daughter said? Well, she said to him, oh, Dad, you know, we love you. We're always going to forgive you. And I can tell you that this father, he's never forgotten those words. And they've been a great blessing and encouragement to him as he saw, even in a small way, the love of Jesus Christ coming through his children because they loved their parents and submitted to them, even in their weaknesses. And so, yes, honoring your parents, it's not only good for you, it can be a great blessing to your parents, too. Think about that. Now, as the Catechism rightly teaches this afternoon, the principles found in the fifth commandment, they can be expanded to all the authorities in our life. That's not only parents we're called to honor, as the Catechism says, but all those in authority over me. And you see this very same principle in our reading this afternoon in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says in verse 13 there, be subject to the Lord's sake to what? Well, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him. And a little later on, it goes in verse 18 and gives specific instructions also to those who are servants with masters over them. And so what this means, first of all, congregation, is that we have a duty and we are called to put some serious effort into honoring the authorities and respecting them as authorities that God Himself has placed over us. And I think you understand this is where we so often struggle. This is where we have great weakness in our lives. It's so much easier, and it happens to come a lot more naturally to us, to whine and complain about all the weaknesses and shortcomings that we see in the authorities over us. Now, make no mistake, there are weaknesses and shortcomings. We'll talk about those a little later. But what is your first responsibility with respect to the fifth commandment? It is to actively honor the authorities God has given and even thank the Lord for them. And why are we to do that? Well, the Apostle Peter suggests a reason why here in verse 14. He says, be subject to every human institution. Why? Because they are sent to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Now, God has given them in order to punish the evil and to praise the good. Now, again, you could very easily start by complaining about the system of justice in our country. It's always so easy to question all the sentences that are handed down by the judges. And yet don't forget that at the end of the day, we still live in a country where evil is punished to a certain degree. People who break the law aren't just allowed to run free and do whatever they want. There's consequences for your actions. In general, there's still a sense of law and order because God has instituted the authorities in this country. And you just need to think for a moment of examples of some other places in the world where this is no longer the case. Now, sometimes you hear about that either in the news or perhaps from updates from missionaries who are serving in other parts of the world. There are places where there's military takeovers of government, where gangs can just run free on the streets and violence is prevalent. Anarchy becomes the norm in places like this. And you know, we're a long way from that. And we can thank God for continuing to give us some authority, for putting these authority structures in our lives. And we should thank the Lord for them and strive to honor them as He commands. Because it's His will that we be governed by them. And we could extend this even to a discussion about taxes. You can complain about them too. But don't forget, it's your taxes that pave the roads, that clear the roads, that give you electricity, that ensure access to health care. And further, there are even some ways that the tax laws in this country do praise those who do good. Think for one example about charitable giving. The way it currently stands, even tax laws in this country incentivize you to charitable giving. You are rewarded, in a sense, for contributing to the ministry of the gospel, to the education of our children in Christian schools. Even though the authorities in this land are, for the majority, secular and unbelieving, God has ordained it so that they're praising some of the good things we do. And so let us honor these authorities, beloved congregation. What does that mean? It means that we pray for them. It means that we speak positively about them, or at the very least, we would restrain all the negativity that so easily wells up inside of us, which comes from our sinful nature. And one reason for doing this, one further blessing, you could say, of submitting to the authorities and honoring them, is that it serves as a good witness to outsiders as well. You see what Peter says here in verse 15. He says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." What does he mean? Well, he's reminding us that people are watching. They are watching Christian believers, and they'll tell if you're any different than they are. And here's one of the ways that we can plainly demonstrate that in our interaction, the way we speak about authority. For example, think of the blessing it is, congregation, when people from the outside have an opportunity to come into our schools, for example, and they see the respect that children have for their teachers, a respect that begins in the home. They see something special. They understand there's blessing happening here. And whatever negative thoughts they have are silenced when they see that they were ignorant about the fact that, yes, there's actually something different here. And that's the way it should be. Because we who live in submission to God, the great authority, are also called to be in submission to those whom God has given. And He wants us to show that in every area of our life. You know, is that the way we look at authority? In every corner. I'll give you one more example. Sometimes I skim through the newspaper that I get, and I spend a bit of time reading the letters to the editor. I don't know why. It's kind of interesting. And one issue that just came up over and over and over again in these letters to the editor over the past few months was, of course, the speed cameras. Every week again, there'd be letter after letter whining and complaining about the fact that you now had to obey the posted speed limit. And you can imagine I got a little tired to read these letters over and over and over again. But now you can ask yourself the question, well, were things any different in the church community? Would those letter writers have found themselves right at home here complaining about this, that, and the next thing that we think the governing authorities are doing wrong? Or would they have noticed something different? Would they have seen, you know what, these people, they're actually obeying some greater authority in their life who happens to be God, who tells them, "It's my will that you are governed by these authorities." And doing that, no doubt, would silence the ignorance a foolish people who think there's no way that we could be different. Now, I understand that our hearts bring forward many objections to this. We say things like, it's just not fair, it's unjust, the authorities are wrong, they don't even believe in God or obey Him, why should we submit to them? Which takes us to our third point, which is the challenges of submission. And the Apostle Peter gives us quite a bit of direction here, beginning with the simple acknowledgement that yes, there's going to be good and there's going to be bad authority. Look at what he says in verse 18. He says, "Their servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust." And while it's true he's speaking directly to servants who are under masters in this context, these principles he gives can be applied even more broadly, which he then proceeds and does throughout the rest of the chapter. Which means every authority in your life, congregation, it has the potential to be good or bad or somewhere in between, and you know that because you've seen that to be true. And then comes verse 19. There the Apostle Peter says, "For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly." It's a gracious thing. What does that mean? It means it's something that when you do it, God looks upon you in favor. It's commendable in the eyes of God, says Peter, when you endure the sorrow of suffering unjustly at the hand of unjust authority. And this is especially true, says Peter, when you are mindful of God. That's what he says in verse 19. This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. What does that mean? What are you mindful of? Well, you're mindful of the truth that God is the one who has ordained and instituted these authorities, and he's the one who has given these specific authorities. That's what we said in our first point. And the question is, again, do we believe that? Do we trust that God is sovereign, that he has given these things to us, and that it's actually his will for us to submit to them? Peter goes on and he gets even more striking. Verse 21, he says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example, so that you might follow in his steps." Peter says part of our calling as Christian believers is to endure the treatment of unjust authority, just as he says Jesus Christ himself did, leaving us an example. And so Peter's saying, you know, not only should you expect this, but you should actually consider this to be an integral part of being a Christian believer, because by doing so, you're following in the steps of Jesus Christ himself. But now notice how our Lord Jesus was able to do this. Verse 23, Peter says, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." And we have right here the key really to unlocking this whole thing. The end of verse 23 is so important. What did Jesus do? He continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly, namely to his and our sovereign God and Father. Jesus entrusted himself to his Father with the confidence that just as God is the one who put those authorities in their place, so God is the one who will hold them accountable. God is the one who will determine the rightness and the wrongness of their actions. God is the one who is going to judge how they used the authority he had given them. Congregation, this just absolutely must change our perspective. You know, for the children among us, first of all, boys and girls, you understand your parents have weaknesses and shortcomings. You should expect that. They're fallen sinners. We should not be surprised by it. But if you are mindful of God, then as the Catechism teaches, you'll have patience with them, because ultimately you know it's God's sovereign will that you be governed by them. And because you know that even your parents, at the end of the day, they're accountable to God. Now, of course, there'll be times when you think that you know better, especially as you get a little bit older. Times when you're not at all impressed with the decisions of your parents, you'll have this almost uncontrollable urge to argue and to go against what they have told you to do. But you need to remember where those urges come from. It's not the way that God made us. It's not in accordance with the will of God for our lives. The desire for you to resist authority comes from your fallen, sinful nature. And if you ask yourself the question, what does Scripture tell us to do about our fallen, sinful nature? It tells us to take that nature and daily put it to death. To crucify the old nature even. Peter even says this in a chapter this afternoon, verse 24. It says there that Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Why did Christ suffer for you? It's so that you could take the sin in your life and not only nail it to the cross and be forgiven, but put all the sin to death. Which means the next time that you have a conflict with your parents, instead of dwelling on what you believe to be all of their weaknesses and shortcomings, you are to think about your own responsibility, to put the sin of rebellion to death by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you might be obedient to God Almighty and follow after the example of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself, who calls you to submit to the authorities in your life. And beloved, these same principles are so important when considering our relationship with the governing authorities in this land. What are you to do? You're to be mindful of God and continue entrusting yourself to God who judges justly, which means it is not our primary responsibility to decide whether or not the authorities are right and wrong and then obey them or not obey them. Because we're not the judge. God is. God has put them in authority, which means God is the one who will judge them at the end of the day. And at the great day of Jesus Christ, you know, when he descends on the clouds of heaven, he will set up his throne of judgment, and every authority in this world that ever existed will come before him. And either they will be acquitted of their sins because they turned in this life to their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or they will be sent to the place of eternal punishment because of their rebellion and sin against God and how they abuse their office of authority. And this is God's job congregation, not ours. And again, think of how this changes your perspective. We can pay our taxes even if they're used for unholy purposes because God is the one who will judge. And we don't need to complain or be discontent about these trivial things in our life, like the enforcement of traffic laws, because at the end of the day, God will judge whether or not these things were just, whether or not the authorities used their authority appropriately. And as the Lord Jesus Christ himself did, we are called to entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly and know that he will. And know that he will. Now you might be thinking, surely there are times we are justified in disobeying the authorities. Surely there are times I do not have to follow the laws they have put in place. Well, when you consider what Scripture has to say in this congregation, there's really only one very specific circumstance where you see the authorities being disobeyed, and that's when they give a direct command to someone to break one of the commandments of God. Think with me of a few examples. Exodus chapter 1. Pharaoh commands the midwives to murder the Israelite male babies. And they disobey. And God rewards them because they were obedient to his law. Or Daniel chapter 3, Daniel's three friends are commanded to commit idolatry by bowing down to this golden image Nebuchadnezzar has made. But they do not. And God rewards them, saving their life from the fiery furnace. Think about the New Testament, Acts chapters 4 and 5. Peter and John, you remember, they come before the council, and the council charges them, and they say, "You shall no longer teach in the name of Jesus Christ." Now, of course, they disobey that charge, and the Lord rewards them with continued boldness from the Holy Spirit to preach the very name of Christ. This is what we see in Scripture. And so we ask ourselves the question, have you been directly commanded by the authorities to disobey God? If so, then as Peter and John say, we must obey God rather than men. And you know, the day might come. The day may come when the authorities say, you may no longer read Scripture. But until that time, what do? Well, you continue entrusting yourself to the one who judges justly, while submitting to the authorities with honor, love, and faithfulness, because it is the will of God that you be governed by their hand. And congregation, you understand that the devil, he loves to hear us complaining and being discontent about authority, because he can take that negative attitude and just spread it all over the rest of your life too. And further, being negative about things like this, it just serves to distract you from all the spiritual good that could be happening. You know, imagine all the conversations you have that are polluted with discontent for authority. Instead of talking about that, speaking instead about the awesome salvation of Jesus Christ. Or encouraging one another as you see the day of Christ drawing near. This is what Scripture calls us to do. Encouraging one another with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who himself did not revile in return when he suffered, but he went to the cross, bearing our sins in his body on that accursed tree, so that we can die to all this sin and live to righteousness in its place. We have been healed from these things by the precious wounds of Jesus Christ. And you know, beloved, if you've been convicted this afternoon, much like I have been by the fifth commandment, then this is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ you need to hear again. The gospel you must hold on to in faith. As Peter himself so plainly says, he bore our sins in his body on the tree. We need to confess these sins to God. Receive the assurance that in Jesus Christ we are cleansed. And then believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live to righteousness and silence all the ignorance of foolish people and obey the will of God. Because God and the Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd, the overseer of our souls, as Peter says at the end of our passage. He is the one who loves us, the one who guides our steps, the one who has instituted the authorities in this life. And so, beloved congregation, let us submit to the will of God, even as we submit to the authorities which he has given. Amen.